is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Joining us right now is Greg Bell from the News Tribune. And so, you know my situation. I'm powerless here, can't get out of the house, streets are unplowed, I'm trapped. How are you in this snowstorm?
Well, I don't live in the hinterlands that you live in, John. I'm in Green Lake. It's probably about 6 inches here. I mean, it's cross-country skiable. It's beautiful. And of course, we're from Ohio and PA and the things we've lived at in the past. This isn't so bad. But I was thinking about you today and wondering how you got out of there. It seemed like Renton got socked pretty good.
Yeah, we really did. I don't know. I haven't had a chance to go outside to check it out to see if we got 8 inches or 12 inches or whatever. But all I know is that it's not good, and most of the establishments around here closed down pretty early. I don't know what's going to be open. Like, I don't know if Dino's is going to be open. I don't know if McDonald's is going to be open. And, you know, it's not good. And then, of course, with no power, there's nothing you can do. I'm just sitting here watching, each degree go down. We're at 66 before here downstairs. Got one cover on, but it's trying to battling through with no power
and still working. Amazing, John.
Still working. Yeah.
If Dino's is closed, you know it's a pretty civic emergency. You might as well just, everything else doesn't matter. Dino's must not open.
That's fortunately, it was opening up last night where I was able to get some food, and our caregiver was able to get some food. So now we're just hoping that they were able to open up today. We don't know.
It's crazy. I mean, I joke to my friends, I'm from Ohio, and you remember the Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh doesn't snow hard, but it snows often. And we make fun of the Seattle people, but it's true. The hills here and the people just don't have any experience, and the city doesn't have any, really, not much in terms of road clearing. And I mean, I remember a couple of years ago they didn't even use salt because they didn't want to kill the fish in the Puget Sound. So it's
that's the one thing that, I mean, you know, because going back in Pittsburgh, that your car, you would have to trade in a little earlier, but because of the rock salt in the wintertime, it ended up doing damage. It didn't do damage, but it got rust on your car because of the rock salt driving around in it.
My dad, to this day, when he comes out to Seattle, talks about how no cars out here have rust. He's amazed at West Coast cars. I tell him it's because we use sand when it snows. Not very effective.
Yeah, sand doesn't do anything as far as that. It's just, it's crazy. So, and then, of course, you're right. I mean, nobody knows how to drive in it, which is not good.
It's comedy. It's comedy until it gets injurious, but it's comedy to watch outside on Roosevelt Way by my house. Cars just careening down the road and putting on the brakes down the hill. All the things you're not supposed to do.
Oh, exactly. I mean, that's the one thing. I mean, you grew up in Pittsburgh and you grew up in the East Coast. I mean, you know what to do in snow, but when you're Seattle and you get, usually one snowfall a year and then it rains 2 days later and the snow's all gone.
Right.
You get one of these once every 10 years.
Exactly. And it is pretty remarkable. I'm sure the kids won't have school for about 6 days after this one, but supposed to continue snowing, I guess, later in the week.
No, I know. So it's not going to be adventurous. But of course, I know yesterday when I went over to Dino's, fortunately the scouting staff, which I don't know what they're going to do today, but the scouting staff was working, and of course, they decided to break early and get a little bit of a sandwich and all that stuff. So John Snyder and everybody was over there, but I don't know how they're going to be able to do it today.
Somebody's got to be running that snow cam they got. Did you see that? Seahawks have mounted a camera on the back of the VMAC pointing out the practice fields to watch the snow accumulate. They've got thousands of people.
Did they really?
Yeah. On their website and Twitter feed, they've got a camera mounted there in the second floor by the PR office. It's showing the back of the scoreboard of the practice field and the snow piling up on that, too.
Unbelievable. Yeah, we'll see how that all goes, but that is kind of crazy. But in fact, I wish they would have somebody go out there with a ruler and tell us how many inches it is.
Exactly. My wife said there's no way to calibrate how much snow. It looks like a lot, but yeah.
Mm-hmm,
Yeah, like you said, a lot of work with the scouting staff and they need to go get some draft picks here in the next 6-8 weeks, which I'm sure they'll end up doing with trades.
Do you think that they can get or would want to get value for two guys that they drafted, C.J. Procise and Ethan Posick? Now, again, it's like they can't move quickly on Ethan Posick because right now their two starting guards are unsigned. And,
right.
You know, Jordan Simmons is coming off a knee injury, so they really can't be giving up guards. But, you know, if they do something with the two guards, what do you think about can they get any value for Posick, you know, and or CJ?
Well, Procise, you would think Procise's trade value is as low as a third-year veteran can be, right? And he's been on the field for, what, 16 out of 48 games. They would have to find a team who is in love with his potential, as the Seahawks obviously were when they drafted him in the third round out of Notre Dame and have still remained. They've had two or three different chances to cut him in the beginnings of each of the last two seasons specifically, and they haven't. And there is a segment of the playbook to this day still devoted to C.J. Procise's unique skills. A former wide receiver for his first 3 years at Notre Dame, moved to running back because of injury issues with the Irish, is really a wide receiver in a running back body, running back position in Seattle, yet the couple times that he had it against New England in the first quarter against Philadelphia a few years ago in that rookie season, he looked like an inside-the-tackle running back and ran hard and got 150 combined yards in that upset win in New England at the 72-yard touchdown run against the Eagles the following week before he then cracked his shoulder blade and was out for the rest of that season. Eight different injuries he's had, John, as you know, in three seasons, yet they still have him on the team. One is because it wouldn't cost them much to cut him, but two, because they do have a plan for him. If he could just stay on the field, I think he's going to have to earn that job during the summer. I don't think he's going to get traded because I don't think anyone in the league will have any value to give anything for him, but he's going to have to prove he can stay on the field. He can't even stay on the field sometimes in preseason when they don't tackle or hit anyone. And then his job at roster spot is certainly not guaranteed or even assured into the season. What may help him is that Mike Davis is becoming an unrestricted free agent here and is likely to leave in a couple weeks. So that will clear one spot on the roster at running back. But you know that they're going to sign running backs between now and start of mini camps and training camps, whether it's drafting one late or signing more likely an unsigned free agent.
I know you were writing about this the other day in the News Tribune as far as trade downs, and I know one of the things now I got nothing to do is I'm going to probably go back into history and then just see what they can probably pick up and where they can go as far as a draft. But I mean, don't you get the feeling that you with 21, if they move back, at least they get threes and fives, things of that nature, and then once you get to about 28 or 29, then it gets a little bit lower, like fours and fives.
Right, and that's where they've made their hay in most of their drafts, as you know, is the last half of the draft. And the other thing at play here, it's interesting, and Seahawks fans, the ones that are following the draft and watch every minute of the first round and are excited about it, get disappointed that the Seahawks constantly draft or trade down. The thing is that very few NFL teams, as you know, listeners may not realize, very few NFL teams have more than 20-plus players projected as first-round picks in any draft. They see the rest of the field as second round, third round, fourth. So the Seahawks thinking has been, why are we going to draft a guy in the first round that we don't have rated as a first round guy here at 24, 27, or 28, 32, 31 as they've been picking the last 6 years? Why draft that guy, have to give him first round money and have a fifth year option on him as a first round pick? Why not just get him in the second round and or a comparable player to his talent, and pick up some picks along the way? And that's why they have drafted down or out of the first round in seven consecutive years. It's not that they just don't want to pick first-round picks. It's that they aren't picking high enough in the first round to warrant players they believe are first-round quality picks. And I think that's going to happen again. I mean, if there was ever a draft, they don't draft at 21. It's where their spot is. It's this one when they only have four picks right now, which is right now it would be the fewest in team history. 1997 and 94 were five picks.
But don't you think in the end, somehow, some way, they're going to end up with at least eight?
Oh yeah, right. No. Every year, like a couple of years. I think it was last year they ended this time with eight and ended up with 10, and they traded, of course, down in the first round before taking Rashad Penny. Yeah. I think that's where they're going to land, a seven-round draft. He likes to have multiple picks in at least a round or two, John Schneider and Pete Carroll do. They won't get any comp picks, it looks like, and I don't know if you've talked about that. The net gain of free agents was a plus one with DJ Fluker signing being the last one last offseason. So it doesn't look like the NFL is going to give him any comp picks to help him there, which will also be different than in previous years. So they're going to have to make trades to get their additional picks. And there will be teams, there always are, that are at the bottom of the first round or have already picked in the first round and the top of the second again that want to draft an overvalued quarterback or an overvalued offensive lineman because those are so scarce in the league that will trade with Seattle. They'll find a partner when it's their time.
Oh, no doubt. And that's the one thing that I think is going to be an interesting thing to follow, because last year, because I always keep track of the comp picks, being sort of the database geek that I am. And, I thought that it merited it, that they needed the players. And so to not get the 3 fourth-round picks or the 2 fourths and a 5 for Jimmy Graham and the 2 Richardsons, that is understandable. And it worked out because, they got starting play out of Mingo, decent play out of Ed Dixon. Fluker was a starter all year. So they came out of that well. But now what the debate's going to be this year, do you go out and when you know that you're going to lose, probably a K.J. Wright, an Earl Thomas, a Mike Davis, and maybe some others. I mean, do you go ahead and you try to get those comp picks, or do you go back and get and sign free agents?
I'm a big believer, John, in signing guys who can play right now. And you never know if the comp picks are going to – you don't even know if you're going to take those comp picks in those rounds because you may trade them again. You don't know if a third or fourth round pick is going to pan out. I think – my belief, especially this year, that they have $60 million in cap space, 52 and change, way more than they've had in most times over the past few off seasons, that they should go shopping. And they should get a cornerback or safety, or both. And they need more depth, especially at defensive tackle. This draft, I know, is super rich in defensive linemen. They can get a defensive tackle in the second round. That's probably where they could get them on 21 as well. But I think stopping the run is their biggest issue on defense, on top of many others. And that a lot of people aren't talking about the fact that defensive tackle and inside run stopper may be their biggest need on defense, because that's the base of Pete Carroll's system. And they gave up 4.9 yards a carry last year. We saw in the Dallas playoff game that opponents really rushed when they wanted to. And that they were the Seahawks defense, when they were good, it wasn't because they were stopping the run. It was because they were getting turnovers, and they were so turnover-dependent. I think stopping the run, a defensive tackle, Brandon Mebane, a Tyva Rubin, a Tony McDaniel type of guys that aren't really praised and valued for stats or sacks, but just do their job over the nose, those are the guys they need, whether that's signing as a free agent, like a Shamar Stephen type, or drafting in one of their picks early at the top of the round, at the top of the draft.
See, but what I wonder about it, are they really as urgent as that's about? I think they're more urgent for a defensive end, because a pass rush on defensive end on the other side of Frank Clark. I think that's more, that takes more precedence than I think, because, the least, say what, I don't know, you watch how they configured things last year, and Puna Ford's a good run stopper, and Jaron Reed is a good run stopper. Hard to say about Nazir Jones. I mean, he would be inactive when they wanted more of the run stopping group, and then Puna Ford would be the inactive guy when they wanted more of the passing defense type rush. And remember, they still have two guys that are restricted that are defensive ends, but they're really defensive tackles. I mean, don't you agree that Brandon Jackson, I mean, he's more kind of a third, fourth tackle. Same thing for Quentin Jefferson.
Right. I do. What I'm thinking on defensive tackle is they can get better value there, and they could trade down and still get a most likely ready to play defensive tackle in the second round, for instance, and not use their first-round pick and get more picks through trade. The defensive end edge rushers are such a premium that those are a little harder. The top ones are going to go in the first round. And so if you're talking about a scenario of the Seahawks trading down and getting more picks, I think defensive tackle would be more in the second-round type of realm. I'm not saying they won't go first with an edge rusher. We still have to see what they're going to do with Frank Clark, how much it's going to cost them. It's probably going to cost them at least a franchise tag number of about $18 million unless they can string a multi-year deal that the signing bonus and prorate the bonus across more years of a contract. But those are the two biggest priorities. A lot of people think safety. Tedrick Thompson, I don't think the Seahawks are convinced he's a long-term answer to replace Earl Thomas at free safety, but for now that's who he is. And there's two more years left on Bradley McDougal's contract that he re-signed before last year. They have to have a plan beyond 2020-21 for what they're going to do at strong safety as well. So I think safety could be another place to look on defense. And now we're talking about three or four needs, and they only have four picks, which is the need why they're going to trade and get more.
Well, see, my idea on the compensatory picks is that you can trade them. And so if you know you're going to have two third-round compensatory picks, I mean, you can maybe at least get one-fourth for one of the compensatory picks and have it for this year.
True.
And that's where I think
in the past, that's what they've done. Yeah, instead of signing more free agents. That's right.
Yeah, so it's a matter that, because you know, those are valuable ones, and it's rare for a team to give up a third-round compensatory. I mean, you look at all the players that have been lost, and you know that Bill Belichick always tries to sign a bunch, but you know, he always makes sure that he protects that third-round compensatory pick if he loses one, because that's now somewhat valuable in being able to give you flexibility to make a trade or two to get something.
Exactly, and that's the flexibility that John Schneider and the Seahawks currently lack. And what makes this draft different heading into it than in the others, they just don't have the ammunition to do those things right now. And whether they gain it through trades or whatever, it's a unique situation, unlike any of the first nine drafts they've had here, is they just don't have the ammunition to stockpile to make deals and offers for other teams, which is why the first-round pick is the main carrot they have to dangle and probably gain more picks with, which that's why I'm thinking any people that read these billions and billions of mock drafts between now and April, late April, if they don't have the Seahawks trading down at 21, if it has the Seahawks picking at 21, you might as well move on to read something else.
Yeah, but of course, me being one that I'm going to be asked to do multiple mock drafts for the Washington Post, you know, it's hard to make the trades. I mean, you can point out that they're going to be trading it, but then ultimately, if you can't make the trade, you got to make the pick. And so
Know,
that's why you have to kind of get stuck with it.
Exactly, and it would be bad for them to be stuck at 21, would it? That'd be one of the highest they've been picking here in the last 6-7 years, and they certainly have the needs, and they
no doubt
they could go a lot of different directions with that first pick if they kept it.
Well, Greg, I'll let you go back and ski the streets and start to get the snowballs with the kids. All I know is that during our conversation, as hot as it was and as good as it was, we're down now 1 degree to 65 downstairs.
Man, I couldn't even warm your house up talking Seahawks. I apologize. I failed you, John.
But you warmed my heart by being here for us.
I appreciate that. Good job, by the way, you and the Hall of Fame committee. That's a pretty strong class you put together last week.
Thank you. I think next year Hutchinson gets in. Hey, thank you so much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Now, more John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Rick in Bremerton. Hey, Rick.
Hi, John. I'm very sorry to hear about the power situation. I know you have special needs, and I hope it comes on quickly so you can get things going again.
Yeah, because it's like the food places are all closed. I mean, Dino's looks like one of the neighbors just came over and said Dino's is closed and the McDonald's is closed. I would imagine that the Starbucks is closed. So,
well, I got a feeling as soon as you're off the air, there's going to be a few neighbors knocking on your door. So, fear not, my friend, but I
wanted
to call.
Jerry, my neighbor, took care of the driveway and the walkway.
That's right.
Linda and Debbie
loved,
just came
John,
over.
You know that. I hope
what's
you
that?
Know that. So, I said you're well-loved around here, so I hope you know that. But
well, I
wanted to call and talk a little about playoff running backs. And one of the things I respect about Pete Carroll was how he handled Marshawn Lynch during the Super Bowl runs, didn't overuse him towards the end of the season. The guy was fresh when it came to the playoffs, and it showed. And I think Le'Veon Bell gets a really bad rap for, you know, being called a quitter because he would bail sort of at the end of the last few seasons he did play. And then watching Gurley just peter out in the playoffs, it just reminds me that the NFL is, everybody's worried about their own job. So they unless Le'Veon or Gurley say something or tell them I'm not, don't use me as much, it seems like they just run the dog poop out of these guys and don't think about what's going to happen when comes Super Bowl time.
Yeah, we watched that in Dallas with DeMarco Murray, because remember, yep, he had that big, 1,800-yard season, and then it took him like 2 years to recover from that. And what I wonder about, are they going to do the same thing with Ezekiel Elliott?
Well, I don't think they will, because I think Zeke's got enough sense to see what's happened to Bell and Gurley, and I don't think he's going to let him. And remember, that suspension actually probably helped Zeke, because it just was a less wear and tear on him, so... He looked pretty good in the one playoff game that they did have, I thought.
No, he did.
So, anyway, that was my point. I don't know that Le'Veon Bell has anything left. We'll see. And I think Todd Gurley might have just, they might have just whacked him out with using him too much this year. He might be done. So, you know, that's one thing about Belichick. You know, he's always got fresh running backs coming in, and couple of these coaches, they're smart guys, so that's why he wins all the time. So
he's amazing.
Anyway, have a good day, Johnny.
Hey, Rick, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Tell you what, we'll come back and take a break and continue with your phone calls. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Jimmy in Everett. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good. I mean, well, under the circumstances, just trying to survive. You know, it's 64 degrees now here in the house.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you. I'm staying in today. But, hey, John, I got a couple of things real quick.
Yeah.
So, John, this week, Bob Stoops took a job with the Dallas team out of the XFL. I was kind of surprised by that, considering I thought if he was going to get back into coaching, a lot of big-time college jobs are probably going to open up next year, including USC. Are you surprised Stoops took a job in the XFL?
A little bit, yeah, because you know, that keeps him out of college for another year. You know, I could see him, if there was an opportunity in the Alliance of American Football, where, you know, you get done in April and you can come back and get a job next year. But yeah, I thought that was a surprise. And I know that when we talked to Oliver Luck, he was saying that they're going to start, you know, getting out the names of the coaches and the general managers and that over the next couple weeks. But yeah, I thought that was a surprise, because you would think that he'd be waiting for the next college job. I agree. I'm surprised.
Yeah, I kind of was surprised by that, especially considering last year there were some reports that before the Bears hired Matt Nagy that they were considering Bob Stoops. Yeah, so that was kind of surprising. Hey, John, and then, you know, the final list for the Combine invites came out, and to no one's real surprise, you know, Washington tied for third with the most people that will be at the Combine with 9. The only real surprise on there, I was kind of surprised Jake Browning received an invitation to the Combine, but I guess, you know, there are some teams out there that want to look at him up close and personal. You know, I don't know if you've had a take.
Yeah, but also remember, he did say what you want. He did get invited to two bowl games. I mean, you know, two All-Star games. I can't remember. I think he went to the Players Association one, and he got into another one. So at least, you know, he's had a couple looks in some of these All-Star games, and that I think probably pushed him over to get into the Combine.
Yeah, hey, John, and then I don't know if you had a chance to look at the full list of the 9 Huskies that are going to be attending, but there are a couple questions. I know a lot of people, depending on how Taylor Rapp runs in the 40, I guess it's going to see where he depends, like whether he's a late first or the second. I've heard some reports that the Cowboys might be interested in Taylor Rapp to play safety. What are you hearing about that, John?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now he's sitting in the second round, and you're right, a good time can push him into the first. I think Byron Murphy is going to go in the first. It's hard to say. I mean, first we have to get through free agency and see if Earl Thomas can talk his way onto the Cowboys roster. I know that, you know, at this stage, the Cowboys feel pretty good about their young safeties, but I don't know. I mean, I think they probably need an upgrade from Xavier Woods. So, but, if not, then they're definitely going to be looking in that second round. I don't think first round they're going to be looking for a safety. So, you know, second round could be a possibility for the Cowboys. But, you know, you also that puts them into the 20s, you know, puts them in like the mid-50s as far as picks.
Yeah. Hey, one last thing, John. So, also another guy that had a really good Senior Bowl week was Caleb McGarry out of Washington. Now, he played right tackle in college, obviously. I read some reports that Tom Cable had him playing a little bit of left tackle at the Senior Bowl. You know, McGarry is an interesting prospect, especially for the Seahawks, John. Obviously, they got to figure out what they're going to do with a Fetty. But do you see McGarry playing right tackle in the NFL? And what would you think about the Seahawks possibly drafting him? Hey, John, thanks. Stay warm now.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I mean, I can. I think probably more right tackle than left. I mean, it's tough sometimes to make that transition from left. So as far as the Seahawks, I think that at this stage, I mean, they're better suited, you know, because, you know, they're fine at the left tackle spot with Dwayne Brown. And, you know, at some point, they got to figure out a way to get George Fant on the field. I was looking at some scouting reports, and, you know, Fant is considered, believe it or not, to be, you know, one of the better tackle possibilities. And so what you wonder about, I mean, would they take Fant and put him at right tackle, you know, from the very beginning, and then move a Fetty back to guard if they lose one or two of their veteran guards like J.R. Sweezy and D.J. Fluker. So, I don't know. I'd say right now they don't necessarily need to draft an offensive lineman. I think they need to basically take care of the defense. This, if you only have four picks, and they'll end up having more, majority of these picks have to be on defense. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Wheat in Tacoma. Hey, Wheat.
Yeah, good morning, good afternoon, and good snowing, and, you know, something like that. Holy mackerel.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to admit it. When I was delivering yesterday, I'm like, oh, it's not good. At about 10 in the morning, you know, I was, like, delivering and everything yesterday. I'm like, oh, it's not going to snow. Boy, was I wrong.
Yeah, you were wrong, yeah.
Holy,
I mean, this is one of the worst deaths since moving out here.
Holy mackerel. Well, anyways, hey, you know, John, I was just clicking the channels. I'm like, oh, yeah. Right on. Guess what we're going on to, baby? Guess where we're going? Indianapolis, Indiana. That's the next thing coming up, baby, for us wackos, man. Oh, I forgot. Because right after the Super Bowl, a couple days went by, and I'm like, oh, man. Oh, cool. Yeah, man, they're all going to be in there. Do you know if Minshew Mania is invited to that, John?
Yeah, he's invited. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard any.
Yeah, no, he's in the mix, no doubt.
Oh, okay, cool, man. And then, you know, this, I don't know how much time, what 1 week's passed by. We're on to Miami, Florida. You got 32 teams. That's your destination. What are you going to do about them? And for all the fans out there, if you don't know, it's Miami, Florida, man. Super Bowl 54. That's your destination, man. 32 teams. What's your goal? That's your goal. Get it on, man. So that's what I'm looking forward to, John. Beautiful Miami, Florida. I've never been there. I'm saving up for it right now, man. So.
Oh,
you know,
be nice to still be there. I was like, be nice to be in that warmth.
Yeah, like, you know, wow. I don't know. You remember like a couple weeks ago that Washington D.C. got hammered with a bunch of snow, and it's kind of just drifting all towards us, man. I was clicking the channels like 2-3 weeks ago, and I'm like, holy mackerel, man. Downtown Washington, D.C. got like a foot of snow, and I'm like, holy mackerel. Now it's our turn. So, but anyways, on to the combine. That's it. I couldn't remember the name of it. NFL combine. Oh yeah. So looking forward to that. So, and then for let's see, what would be after that, John?
Then you start getting into free agency. Free agency starts the second week of March. Franchise tags have to be done by the 5th of March. So there's always going to be constantly something going on.
Oh, yeah, and then the NFL draft, April 2019.
NFL draft in April, like April 25th.
In Nashville, Tennessee. Man, those guys, they got to swing it over here one of these days to the best fans in the NFL, CenturyLink, so we can scream and yell and show the best fans here. So for the draft, man, I'm waiting one of these days. So, but that's all. Not too much, John, just kind of dealing with the snow like everybody else and looking outside, just cleaned off my car off the snow and waiting for the NFL combine. Okay, thanks, John.
All right, we thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Give us a call here as we get to the still waiting for that report from Puget Sound Energy, whether we're going to get the power back. There was supposed to be 11 a.m. Now it's about 12. Let's hope it comes back. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
Our thanks to Matt Nelson for producing the show. Our thanks to Matt Nelson for running the show. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to John in Rochester, New York. Hey, John.
Hey, how are you doing, John?
Oh, hanging in there. It's a little miserable right now. It's a little getting a little chilly here in the house with no power and 8 to 12 inches of snow outside.
Well, we'll send you warm thoughts, even though it's not much warmer here in Rochester.
Appreciate that. Could use them.
Anyways, my question was, do you think with Zach, the coach of the Bengals there?
Yeah, Zach Taylor.
With him taking that job, one of the first things he said was that he wanted to change the culture there and perception. And then the first hire he makes is that Jim Turner guy who was involved with the bully scandal. Don't you think that if he was really trying to change the perception and the optics of the Bengals, that maybe he would have went in a different direction there with his first hire?
Yeah, of course, that's the thing. It's like, what direction? I mean, it's nice to say you want to change the culture, but then what are you changing the culture to? I agree. And what concerns me is that, he didn't get so far an experienced defensive coordinator with head coaching experience to kind of help him out. And so to me, that's a concern. Now, he hasn't hired one yet, but I know he was talking to Jack Del Rio and that didn't work out. Had a few other interviews scheduled. And, I'm kind of wondering if this is going to be a good staff. And that's one of the problems that you have when you're this late. Now, again, it's not his fault. He was in the Super Bowl, and so, he can reach out and start to get some guys hired. But, when you're the last coach hired, a lot of times you have a failed staff because you're not getting the main guys that you may want.
Yeah, and I think the problem with exactly what you just said was even though you might be behind the scenes reaching out, guys don't want to take a job because what happens if they say yes to you and wait, and then for some reason you don't end up actually getting the job?
Well, I mean, look at last year, how all these guys that agreed to come to Indianapolis for Josh McDaniels. I mean, there was at least three of those coaches that had agreed to come and were already starting to move that ended up not even getting a job because Josh pulled his name out. And so, you got to be cautious about that because, it's still a negotiation to get the deal done. And like anything else, I mean, you can kind of work on the framework of things with the agent, but ultimately, the assistant coach is the one who could be in danger because if the guy doesn't come and things don't work out, then you're in trouble.
I agree. And let's hope that the Bengals do eventually get this right because I, for one, have been long thinking that it was time for a change for Marvin Lewis, and it's just actually kind of exciting to see something different there. So let's just hope they don't mess it up.
Yeah, let's hope not, because again, the division right now is wide open to try to come back, and this is the time to try to do it. Pittsburgh is going through some thing, quarterback change in Baltimore, so this is the time to be able to do that. Hey, John, thank you for the phone call. Let's go to Victor in Auburn. Hey, Victor.
Hey, John, another great show.
Ah, thank you.
Hey, and good job on Wednesday, too, or Thursday on the
NFL
Network.
Oh, hey, that was fun.
Yeah, sorry about you. Yeah, you guys, it's so much a different dynamic when you're there as opposed to just patting the other guy. Because it seems like you're hitting more points constantly. And either way, it's an excellent addition. Love when you're there. Quick question. I know there was a video or a little clip released of Chad Kelly throwing the football out there.
Mm-hmm.
What is his deal? Is he playing anywhere? And what's his does Denver have any interest to bringing him back?
No, I think that they've gone a different direction. I mean, they're going to bring in a young quarterback probably in the first round. So I think that those days have ended. And I think the fact that, they did kick him off the team and let him go. I can't see John going back and bringing him back. And so I'm kind of surprised that he didn't end up on the Alliance of American Football. So now it's a matter, is he waiting to try to get into the XFL, finding a way to get back into the league? But I can't see John doubling back and bringing him back after letting him go once.
Okay, was there anything he ever said that what he, I mean, I know he went into somebody else's house and sat down and scared people, but did they say if he was drugs or alcohol or what is?
They never really, you know, once the story came out and then you knew what reaction was going to be by John, that he was going to make the fast move and let him go, then everything kind of quieted down. And so he was kind of like out of sight, out of mind. And so, yeah, I mean, there weren't many follow-ups on what really happened, other than just that he made a bad mistake. But then, unfortunately, through his career, he's made several bad mistakes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, then two quick ones then. John, if you're on the clock, number 10 pick.
Yeah.
Denver doesn't go for a quarterback. Do they shore up their cornerback area, or do they shore up their offensive line?
I think that they're better served, particularly around that 10th pick, to serve the offensive line, because that's still a weakness, but it's going to be a strength once Mike Munchak gets in there and starts changing things around, because he's one of the best in the business. And so, you know that the left tackle struggle, Garrett Bowles, has not been doing too well, and, you know, right tackle still, I think, can be fixed. But, no, I think he'd go offensive line.
Okay. Hey, John, if you guys need any help out there, just give me a call.
I appreciate
whatever
that.
Whatever I can to get out there, bud. All right.
Okay.
Care.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to CJ. Hey, CJ.
Hey, JC. How you doing? Sorry about your predicament at the moment there.
Oh, I appreciate that.
No problem. Hey, might be a week late with these questions. Hey, how close was Hutchinson to get into the
pretty close. Pretty week? Close. I think, you know, because, you know, the problem was is that, last year we had the four offensive linemen in the 10, and they all took votes away from each other. This year it focused a little bit on getting one in, and it turned out to be Kevin Mawai. But then what happened was that the guards took, because you have Alan Faneca going up against Hutch, and so that kind of neutralized Hutch. But I think it's all set up for Hutch to get in next year.
Oh, very good. Who would you guess would get in next year besides Hutch?
Well, let's see. I think it'd be Troy Polamalu. I think he'll be a first ballot. Hutch gets in. Then I'm not sold that you're going to get Richard Seymour in. I think, you know, more than likely there's a chance that Isaac Bruce can get in. I think that maybe Edgerrin James can get in. You know, because at least the one thing is that some people don't keep track of the numbers, nor should they, but I do. You know, 91% of those who make the top 15 make it in. Now, again, coaches have a tough time, and I think they're going to be moved over to a coaching category here in the future. That will start getting them in. But I only counted up like an the last 15 times that we've been in that room, there's only like about 10 guys that made the 15 that haven't been in yet. And that's, over a 15-year period.
Interesting. Hey, just been reading a lot up on just some of the older guys that nobody knows about. Joe Guyon, I was just reading some stuff on him. 12 rushes, 344 yards in a game back in just kind of incredible, weird stuff that just I don't think it really happened anymore. Kind of cool. Anyways, hopefully you get some heat soon.
I hope so. We could certainly use it. Hope Puget Sound Energy keeps on working on it, and I know they are. Hey, I thank everybody, and again, I hope everybody is also in a good spot. We're waiting for the heat to come back on here, but we'll be back on Monday at 10. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.